Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. Montana's iconic artist, Charlie Russell, passed away almost 100 years ago. During his extraordinary life, he shared his view of the West through over 4,000 recorded works. His paintings, watercolors, sculpture, and writing reflect what the original cowboy artist saw and felt about this country. The C.M. Russell Museum in Great Falls homes one of the largest collections of Russell's work. Today, we're chatting with the museum's Dwayne Broughton about the museum that celebrates both the man and his work.
Dwayne, welcome to Resounds. Actually, today, Jennifer and I are in Great Falls to see and learn more about this historic museum and its world-famous auction, the Russell. But before we begin, let's have a little history lesson about the museum's namesake. Who exactly was Charles M. Russell?
Charles M. Russell was so many things. He was a fine artist. He was a writer. He was a humorist. And maybe most importantly in my mind, he was a guy I wish that I could have known. Charlie was born at the tail end of the Civil War down in St. Louis, Missouri. And he was born to a fairly affluent family. So it's not a rags to riches story, but Charlie dreamed of being a cowboy. He dreamed of coming west. He didn't want to work in the family's quarry down there in St. Louis. He liked to go down to the docks and saw people coming and going from back west. And Charlie knew then and there that that's what he wanted to do, be a cowboy out west. Sure enough, his parents finally relented, and he came out to be a cowboy and never looked back.
I guess we have to ask, why is Charlie Russell important in the art world today?
Charlie absolutely is important in that he recorded a time and place that he knew shouldn't be forgotten. He really relented the fact, he was remorseful that he didn't see some of the scenes that he painted, the Native Americans moving camp across the plains. The West was on its way to becoming developed, but Charlie knew he had to record what he saw, and more importantly, things that people only still were talking about. And in that sense, Charlie was absolutely important as an artist for documenting a time in history that really showed from the time of the Native American peoples for generations and generations before, and bringing us to the day of the automobile.
We just did the 20-minute tour of a four-hour tour of the museum, and so I would encourage anybody to come and learn more about it. But one of the things I found interesting that you showed us, he was interested in art at a very early age, but he was never really formally trained. Was he a good artist, or did he become a better artist?
That's a great question. He definitely did have natural abilities as a young boy. He learned very early techniques from his mother, who was a hobbyist watercolor painter. So he sat in her shadows and watched her do her floral pieces in the family home. We're talking at an 11, 12-year-old young boy. But Charlie, he had those dreams of being a cowboy. So he wanted to paint cowboys and Indians and Western scenes. And even at that very young age, he was a very skilled draftsman. He, could paint in realism much better than adults even today. So he had absolutely the perfect combination of inspiration and technique from his mother, but also an incredible imagination that he could see scenes in his mind that he wouldn't have witnessed. Those were two building blocks for which Charlie was able to add beyond his life. And as we talked about, Charlie was not formally trained. He did not go to art school, but it was especially later in his life when he came into a position he was able to travel. He was exposed to so many other artists, either their work or got to know them personally, and saw what they were doing, maybe out on the East Coast, saw what the New York painters were doing with their palette and their compositions. And you can really see that after those kind of trips, that his artwork changed very much for the better, and Charlie became absolutely an artist that we all know and love.
One of the things I appreciated that you showed us is really the museum does a chronological story of his life. His paintings when he was 13, his early watercolors, and then as an illustrator. But one of the things, Duane, I didn't realize that you emphasize is the importance of his wife, Nancy, who he married. I think he was in his 30s and she was maybe still a teenager. Tell us about Nancy and how she influenced Charlie Russell.
Oh, without a doubt, we would not be here today sitting in the C.M. Russell Museum here in the heart of a residential neighborhood in Great Falls. We wouldn't be here talking about Charlie Russell if he wouldn't have met and married the perfect match in his life, both as far as a relationship, but also as far as the perfect business partner. Charlie and Nancy, it was a love story for the ages. They met and married in a community of Cascade, just 20 miles south of Great Falls, through a mutual friend there. And they met in the parlor and had a very modest honeymoon cabin, we call it, right down there. But Nancy knew that if Charlie was going to be anyone, they needed to move up here to the big city of Great Falls, Montana, and they needed to live on 4th Avenue North here in Great Falls, which absolutely anyone who was anyone in Great Falls lived on 4th Avenue North. And Nancy just really inspired him, not only inspired his artwork, but inspired him to think bigger and not give away his paintings with an aw shucks modest price. She got him to realize what exactly he was capable of. And you can tell it in his artwork. His artwork just became so much more ambitious and not only in scale, but in the quality. He really drove to improve as an artist. And it is an absolutely important turning page for in the Russell relationship and in the story of Russell as an artist.
I will tell our listeners, one of the things that I find is really fun about the C.M. Russell Museum is this city block size museum that goes on forever and ever. But also on the property is their home. They built a home in Great Falls. And then his studio, so you actually get to go and see where he was doing the painting. Western art is very popular. We live in Montana, but Western art is very popular elsewhere. Why do you think there's such a fascination with Western art in today's culture?
I think people just love the opportunity to step back in time. They love the opportunity to connect with, you know, the American West of their parents or their grandparents or great-grandparents and beyond. That's one of the things that we tout as the experience here at the Russell Museum is that you really do step back in time. You really do get to meet the man behind the masterpieces. We have it here within the walls of the museum. We, of course, have the major paintings and things that we all know about Charlie Russell. But the one thing that we can really offer to our visitors is that experience to get to know Charlie as well as you could do in this day and age. I still imagine every time I walk out to the south of our building, and right there on the city block, as you mentioned, there's the Russell home, and I can picture Charlie making breakfast, coming out the back door and walking across the little courtyard there, rolling a cigarette and going in there and making coffee and getting to work. He was an early riser, and he went out there and got to work so then he could earn the opportunity to go downtown and meet with his old cowboy and buddies in the afternoon.
Another thing that I find really fascinating about this museum is a lot of museums you go and see the masterworks and they're all hung. What I love about this museum are the little sketches and the letters and the illustrated envelopes. So you really feel like you're getting to know the man, not just the artist.
Boy, you absolutely touched on what makes this museum special. There's a long storied biography on Charlie Russell's talk about how he had collectors from the East Coast to the West Coast, to oilmen down south. And so a lot of those masterpieces have gone to other major collections, Amon Carter Museum in Fort Worth, the Gilcrease Museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and elsewhere. But really, that you touched on exactly what is special about the museum. We want people to get to know Charlie, and what a better way to get to know the man is through those more intimate sketches and those illustrated letters. I tell you, Corby, that's exactly what made me fall in love with Charlie Russell. I actually am a Great Falls kid, so to speak. I went to C.M. Russell Elementary School here in town, went to C.M. Russell High School, and I went on the fourth grade tour that all elementary kids come to this museum and write an essay on why Charlie Russell is important. But it wasn't until I came to work here at the museum and I got to focus on scanning, digitizing all of the illustrated letters of Charlie Russell, and in doing so, organized them chronologically and got to know all those relationships, what a true friend he was to anyone and everyone that crossed his path. Those illustrated letters absolutely make you feel like you know the man. And then that it absolutely explodes your appreciation for the artwork you're seeing on the wall.
The C.M. Russell Museum is one of the first museums of Western art in the U.S. And for people listening, it is grand, but it was not always so large or so magnificent. Tell us about how this whole museum started. I think it was just with his studio. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the story of the C.M. Russell Museum is almost as interesting as the biography of Charlie himself. We've talked a lot about how Charlie and Nancy lived right here, and that studio is right on the grounds. Well, upon Charlie's passing in 1926, in October of 1926, immediately after, Nancy did gift that studio that Charlie spent each and every day of his life. She gifted the studio to the city of Great Falls to serve as the first memorial gallery for Charlie Russell. So we're talking 1926, 1927, when it opened to the public, that people could come and appreciate the legacy of Charlie Russell. So in a sense, that was, we trace our history of this museum back to 27. But the structure that we're in today also is the result of just an incredible gift to the community of Great Falls. Some very, very dear friends of the Russells live just a stone's throw right next door to the Russells. They were the Trigg family. Albert Trigg owned the Brunswick Bar here in Great Falls downtown, but they really got to know the Russells quite well and became extended family to both Charlie and Nancy. Well, the Trigg's daughter, Josephine Trigg, did gift her family's collection of watercolors and paintings and illustrated letters to the city of Great Falls if they would build a permanent museum in Charlie's honor. And this museum was constructed back in the early 50s. It started at about a 2,000 square foot small little rectangle right on the city block where the Trigg house stood. And what we see today is three major building expansions, you know, at least doubling in size every 15 to 20 years. And as you mentioned, now we boast about 60,000 square feet of gallery space, and our campus does encompass a city block and a half. We did work with the city quite recently in another, you know, telltale sign of cooperation, and took out the city street so we could expand our presence a half block to the north there. So, yeah, just a really storied history of how this museum grew from such a modest scale to this. And there's a lot of folks that deserve a lot of credit for our ability to expand. But one thing that maybe we'll visit about is the C.M. Russell Art Auction.
Duane, I do want to clarify for our listeners. A lot of people think C.M. Russell Museum, they're just going to see Russell artwork. What is amazing about this museum is the ongoing exhibits that you have here. I mean, in addition to the collection, the incredible Native American art, you also show contemporary artists, regional artists, Native American artists. So visitors coming are going to see a lot more of the story of Western art, both historic and contemporary. Do you get to make all those fun decisions about who's showing here?
I get a vote in the process, that's for sure. Over the years, I've been absolutely proud to be a part of the programming that we have here at the museum. You're exactly right. Most of the pieces on display are by our namesake artist, Charlie Russell. That's what a lot of tourists pull up to the front expecting to see. So Charlie's always a major presence within the walls. But we are so proud to have a constantly revolving offering of really stimulating exhibitions here at the museum. We always show Russell's contemporaries. There's another artist that lived right here in Great Falls, O.C. Seltzer, lived right up the street on Central Avenue. And Seltzer was very much an accomplished artist with collectors all over the country in the same time that Charlie lived and worked. But we really do pride ourselves on being able to maybe show folks some exhibitions that they're not going to expect to see as they come in the door. Right now we have fine art photography and printmaking, and as you mentioned, we like to showcase work by Indigenous artists. In our lower level here at the museum, we're so incredibly proud of our bison exhibition that talks about the importance of the bison to the Plains Indian culture over generations and centuries. That's a semi-permanent exhibition, so I would definitely encourage folks to come and see that bison exhibition.
We are living in a time where there's less and less funding for the arts and for museums. You are fortunate that you have over 30,000 visitors a year here, but this is a really big place, and it takes a lot more than ticket prices to support the museum. Let's talk about something that's very exciting, something that is known about internationally, and that would be the Russell Auction. How did that get started? And tell us the story of the Russell Auction.
Well, that is absolutely the third major story that we love to talk about here at the museum. And And as we talked about a little before, this museum is in the size and scale it is today, thanks to so many generations of folks that have just passionately supported this museum. But one of the absolutely most important chapters in the history of the museum was the development of the C.M. Russell Art Auction. As I had mentioned earlier, this museum started as a pretty modest 2,000 square foot building in the early 50s. But then in the late 60s, the big plan came to expand the footprint of the museum. One of the ways that they were able to expand the building like that was in coming up with the idea of a benefit live art auction. Now, the folks, they pulled in artists from around the community and around the country to consign work to sell, and proceeds would benefit the Russell Museum. Some of those earliest auctions even did have works submitted by consigners. They submitting Charlie Russell pieces and other historic Western artists. Of course, the proceeds were split, but it really sparked a community effort as a fundraising event that not only was a fundraiser, but a friendraiser. And that absolutely has tracked through still today, that each March, right that weekend very closest to Charlie's March 19th birthday, we at the museum are so proud to welcome folks from around the country to come and bid on the most exciting Western art that's being created today by our best contemporary artists, but also coupling that in with historic consignments from galleries and dealers and collectors from across the country. It's very important to share far and wide that the museum does not sell artwork out of the vault to make ends meet around here. That's absolutely contrary to our collecting policies. We wish we could keep them all. We wish we could have every Russell piece, but this really is a second best option in working with those consigners that put pieces up for sale. And again, through buyer's premiums and consignment fees, the museum does realize a significant portion of our operating budget here. We simply could not do it without the Russell and the attention it gets. Again, not only as a fundraiser, but a friendraiser. The weekend really needs to be seen to be believed. The whole community of Great Falls sits up straight, dusts off our jacket, and we're really proud of welcoming people to the Western center of the world.
And the auction is more than the auction. It's like several days of activities. There's demonstrations. I'm so glad that you mentioned that it's a lot of consignment, because you hear about a Russell painting being sold at the auction, and I know a lot of people think that your museum is selling that piece, and it's not the case. There are owners, other museums, other people that own Russells that bring that work to this place for the auction, and then you make money off the sales of that. So I think that is an important aspect of what goes on at the auction. Duane, we're kind of finishing up our conversation, but one of the things, speaking about being proud about the museum and the auction, I know that you are very proud of your education program here at the C.M. Russell Museum. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. We are proud of our educational opportunities that we provide for the community, both near and far. As I did mention earlier, one of the best programs we have here at the museum is welcoming the all fourth graders from both the city, the whole county, come to the Russell Museum, and they learn all about Charlie and his work and his life and what the West was like during his day and age and even before. And then they go back as part of their curriculum. They go back and write an essay, why Charlie Russell is important. And like Charlie Russell, they illustrate the piece to add a little flavor to their what they just penned below. So I do have to admit, I was, as mentioned, I was a Great Falls kid. Well, I came on that tour, and I had to write that essay. But mind you, I don't think that I have any awards hanging on my house, on my walls from what I wrote. But it's an experience I remember from my elementary school days, and that's what we're just so proud of. So outside of those fifth grade, fourth grade essay tours, you know, we're so proud to be one of the main sources of education. We talked that Charlie didn't necessarily like formal education in his artistic growth, but we're proud to welcome artists and others to teach classes in our Discovery Center and classroom here at the museum. So, yeah, it's very much an important part of what we do.
Yellowstone Public Radio has a pretty wide listening swath, most of Montana, northern Wyoming, and I'm always so surprised that there are people in Montana that haven't been to the museum. What would you say to visitors, and give us a little plug for the C.M. Russell Museum?
This museum is just something that I'm very, very proud of, and I think it's something that our Montana community and beyond can be very, very proud of. I always smile when people pull up to the front door and they tell me they didn't trust their navigation system, that it was taking them into this awkward residential area, and then the grounds open up and this museum is right in front of their eyes, and it just amazes folks. I love looking at the license plates from folks all over the country that came specifically to see the Russell Museum. We hear all the time that it's been on people's bucket list to come. And so it's such a wonderful day trip to come up to Great Falls. Find humorous when people come in the back door or come in the door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon thinking they're going to see it all. And we very much say, keep your ticket because you're going to need to come back tomorrow to really see everything there is to see here.
Dwayne, thank you so much for giving us a little overview of the C.M. Russell Museum. We will have information on our website, ypradio.org. And I encourage people, this is a great opportunity not only to know about C.M. Russell, but the entire state of Montana and the art of the Western American life. Thank you, Dwayne.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.